Episode 2 of Saints or Sinners. If you're new here, this is the Saint or Sinner podcast where we talk about the Saints all the way from the highs and the lows. You experience the roller coaster that we have for the last 20, 30 plus years. We're joined by the same panel as last week, plus a special guest. But let's start with Trenor. Welcome back to the show. We didn't think we'd have you back.
Oh, glad to be here. I'm fully ready for AFL season, so of course I'd come back, Julian. Why wouldn't I be here?
And Yoz, how did you find last week went?
Yes, we survived, and like we've made it back for a second episode. We didn't blow anything up. We didn't burn anything. And it came out pretty well. I thought it would be a bit rough, but it was pretty impressive.
I'll tell you one thing, they burned was a few calves and bloody quads at the Saints ground on the way.
We'll get to that. And I know this is a podcast, but for those of you, if you were looking at what I'm looking at, you're wearing reading glasses right now. He's the smartest I've ever seen him look.
Thank you.
Wow, very impressive. Hopefully you can back that up with some insights.
Yes, definitely.
And we are joined today by a very special guest, a former AFL athletes coach, VFL head coach. It is Clint Proctor. Welcome.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Clint's going to provide some insight with actually some expertise behind it, apart from our fandom. And Clint is not actually a Saints fan, so he brought a bit of balance to our, because we're all diehard fans. So looking forward to what you bring, Clint.
Telling us probably not what we want to hear, but what we need to hear.
That's right. He's going to give us a hard truth.
No, thanks, boys. Been a pleasure. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. And as per last week, I don't know if you were new here or if you joined us last week, every time you hear the siren sound, that's when we pause the podcast to ask a St. Kilda-related question. So hopefully you can play along at home.
And that's normally a sign when Saints fans start crying as well, isn't it? It triggers emotions, a final siren for us as well.
Well, not all of us make it to the final siren. Yeah.
If you're a proper supporter, you got to see it through. Yeah.
Agree. Well, the idea of the siren is to keep the podcast moving. And one thing that isn't moving is the ball movement from the Saints. Because I tell you, the entries inside 50 are appalling.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, actually, before we jump into that, I actually wanted to... Well, we had some news come up this morning that freaked everyone out because we saw on the injury report we had Max King, Jack Sinclair and Wood all hurt in a match simulation. So we'll talk about the current state of affairs with the injuries and give us an update. Yoz, did you have any injury updates? And then we might ask Clint exactly why this is happening before the season has even started.
Well, I'm actually impressed that you did remember the other two that were in there because they are quite important. But when I saw the headline, I just saw King and I was like, not again, because he did have that serious knee reconstruction before he got drafted. And he missed basically his first season with it. And I think I remember right at the end of his first season when he was playing BFL, he had a bit of a knock and like a collective breath that was held by all the Saints fans. But thankfully, he's all right. But just with his injury history, I think everyone is like keen to find out what's happened, you know. And they're always thinking the worst, as being St. Kilda supporters. But apparently, Sammy Edmund did report that it's nothing serious, which is good. And the other one was Woody's quad, which is an old man's injury. Clint, you'll know about that, wouldn't you?
Quads and calves.
Quads and calves, old man's injury.
And then Achilles start lingering as well, you're in trouble.
And then Sinclair with a hammy, which if you name three important players, people don't think Woody's really that important, but he is important to our structure, I reckon, because he gets up and back. Yep. He kicks a few goals. He's really good. He's really improved. So that is another key player. Sinclair, obviously, we all know what he brings. And that's on top of losing Dougal Howard with a shoulder reconstruction. We've lost Philippou, who was... It's a cliche that they said he was flying during preseason, but we all see how he finished the year. We're all expecting big things. 10 to 12 weeks with a stress fracture in the leg. Paddy Dow, apparently flying again, but he's out with an infected blister of the knee, and he was quite serious.
So basically renamed to the Saints Zebras, that's what you're saying.
He was going to provide that pop out of midfield and depth, which we need. And then also on top of those are the long-term ones, which are definitely not going to be there for round one. Also another key player is Liam Henry, who we're all excited to see, who's doubtful for round one, and also Rowan Marshall, which is another huge one. They said Ross said he's going to play round one, but he's not going to be primed and ready to go, is he? So we might get an early look at Harry Boyd.
Wow.
So it's interesting. Like, the thing is, you're going to get injuries in preseason, as Clint will know, because you're ramping it up. But key players like that for the Saints?
Be concerning. Absolutely. Coaches would be, you know, really disappointed, especially with your key players going down. Like, you know, there's a lot that... you know, falls on their shoulders to get the season going. And not only on the field, but culturally. Because they're such big voices in the meeting rooms. Yeah. They offer great leadership on the field, on the track. Yep. And when they're not there, that's where the, you know, the gaps start and the standards, and, you know, in training. They don't drop necessarily, but you just don't have that, you know, that leadership and that push out there from your senior men. So, yeah, the Saints are going to be up against it early, that's for sure. It's, yeah, it's disappointing.
Well, we're just an can you give us insight into pre-season training? Yeah. How those injuries come about? Is this because you're ramping up the workload? Or
Yeah.
So you've got to obviously do it gradually, but obviously you need to... The thing is, we think maybe they should pull back, but you need to get those legs in the miles during pre-season, don't you?
Siren sound, before you get into a clean, our first question is, in round 12 against West Coast Eagles last season, boys, Hunter Clark recorded 12 tackles, which was actually the second highest in the game.
Are you serious?
Who had the most tackles in that game for the Saints?
The Saints?
Well, usually Jack Steele's a pretty obvious candidate.
Oh, I'd have to go with Steele.
It was Steele, and how many tackles was it? So higher than 12.
15.
It was 15. Very good start.
Sorry, Clark had 12 tackles.
I know.
He's fantastic. He's a really good player. And, like, didn't he have an injury during preseason? Or was all I saw.
I think most of our players have had injuries.
Not a serious one. But, like, if he had a solid run at it, he's got a bit of class, hasn't he? But it just hasn't happened for him injury-wise. And it's not like normal, like, injuries. It's like piece fractures and really unlucky ones. Mm. But hopefully, like, if he is injury-free, you have a decent season, because it will add to that midfield and class.
So, Clint, you're talking to us about the preseason and injuries. Do we bear any of the responsibility as St Kilda, the coaches, the fitness coaches, the club itself, for all these injuries that I haven't heard other teams been getting as us?
There has been a few, right, in the media. Yeah. Okay, there's been some, you know, soft tissue injuries, and it's a nature of the beast. It will happen. You're always going to get a couple. You just don't want them to happen to your best players. That's the biggest challenge of the Saints right now, and especially when, you know, you're not at the level, essentially, you know, with Brisbane and these clubs, right, that are up there. So when your key players go down, it puts a lot of pressure on your underbelly and that middle tier players. But look, you know, these guys are professionals, so they would have built the program. They would have, you know, had weeks away at the end of 2024 where they studied and reviewed exactly what, you know, they've done well and where they've finished with their performances and their conditioning, and everything's been planned to the nth degree, you know, from what they're eating to what they're running, the training loads. It's all science there, you know, and essentially the coaches are working hand in hand with the high performance guys. But look, you know, it is a little concerning in the sense that it's happening now and there's a lot of players. You know, coincidentally, I actually went down and watched them, you know, probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Why'd you do that to yourself?
I went down because, you know, I'm coaching now. I'm back on North Ballarat and I wanted to just have a look at the drills, see what's going on. I got some good ones out of there. I thought it was good.
But, that was, you know, the standard. I'll
be frank with Saints supporters. I was disappointed with the standard, and I genuinely checked the schedule to thinking that it would be a tapering session, or, you know, it wasn't like a full, you know, one of your, you know, sessions where we're getting, you know, 10, 12, 11 Ks and we're hitting bags and we're going to work. And I just felt like the Saints weren't at the level, to be honest. And that was just from what I was seeing. So,
Clint, we haven't been at the level for 106 years.
I will say, Clint actually did say this before all these injuries came out as well, and I have evidence of this in writing as well. So, you better listen to
writing.
It right. Yeah, that's right. I keep all the receipts when it comes to Saints.
That was a genius plan. That's why they weren't ramping it up, because this is what happened when they ramped it up. All of them got injured.
Well, no, but you need to elevate, right, and get that conditioning and that power and that, you know, that physical work and that stress on your body and muscles to then be able to deal with it. Now, I'm not saying they've gone from like a level that's not at the, you know, let's say it's a 6 or a 7, they've gone to a 10 and they've just had this issue. Like, they would have planned it again with science, but there's planning and then there's like effort and delivering it in training and actually like putting it in. And I just didn't see enough of them out there like really going to work. And
where does that come from? It comes at the top. It's any in business.
Yeah. But again, like, it was sort of hard because there wasn't a lot of men on the track, right? I watched Henry run laps. Yeah. Jack Steele wasn't in there. So that's pre-season. And that's a challenge in itself. And that's what the coaches have to deal with, right? And, you know, I was watching, I think it was Lenny Hayes. He's a midfield coach, right? He was pushing them hard, but it's coaches can only do so much, right? It's up to the players in the end. So, I just didn't think their physicality was at the level it needs to be in regards to contests. So, they'll need to improve in that area.
Well, it's interesting.
Yoss. No, good. Sorry, when the siren sounds, we ask a question. So, for those of you here or at home, what jersey number is Ari Schoenmaker? Tough one.
Because he hasn't played
41.
That much.
Lower than 41.
It's not the big bud 23, is it?
Just higher. It's 27. Oh, Shoemaker.
We're going to see that number a lot more because I reckon he's going to get that Josh Battle opportunity.
Absolutely.
And he's got that left foot, the rocket, off half back. That would be really good to see him progress this year.
A lot of people will get opportunities with all the soft tissue injuries. So.
Well, if you, well, that's the thing. You've got to take it in that sort of view, don't you, Clint, when the injuries come. You got to put a positive spin. You can sit there and go, "Oh, sit there, get sad."
Well, you got your two draft picks, right?
Get down on it.
You
know? Yeah, let's go.
Well, that's right.
I think there's definitely going to be opportunities come now, so that's good. Yeah, yep. maybe it's back to the draft again, boys.
Or was it just
sorry.
Should we just merge with the Kangas now and get it over with?
Maybe we'll satisfy some supporters and draft a midfielder for them this year because they're still going on about that. But just in terms of that, just with those injuries, we get to the long-term ones. Dougal Howard's going to be out, which he gets a hard deal from the supporters. He's not the best kick, but he tries hard. He's that height that he can cover the big hulking forward and let Wilkie go on the smaller guys. So
yep.
I reckon we've got that covered in that. We got Zane Cordy there, who's a reliable backup, if you want to go for that. Or we got Caminiti, who's been training there as well. So there's options there. I'm not too worried about that. And you still got Wilkie down there as well. So that's that one. I think Philippou, who's going to provide that sort of X factor explosiveness? I was going to say Henry. So it's not going to be Henry. So we're going to have to look for something else. Someone's going to have to do something as well. So it's got to come from that younger group. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah, who does step up for the Saints, Trenor? Is there anyone else other than, you know, we talked about Caminiti in the back line. Is there anyone in the midfield or forward line that steps up following these injuries?
Well, I mentioned last week that Dan Butler needs to step up because Jack Higgins was the one doing it all to himself last season. So Dan Butler needs to join him this season.
Yep.
Just have one of those COVID years that he had where he was kicking four or five goals a week. That'd be nice. But also in the ruck, maybe Clint can speak a little bit more about our pickup in Boyd, who dominated the SNFL. He had huge, huge numbers. I think I mentioned last week the average 159 Supercoach. So is he a chance to maybe, you know, fill in the void that Roe Marshall might leave?
Believe it or not, when I watched the training session, he was the best.
Oh, there you
like
go.
And I mentioned it to you boys, right? Yep. I was like, I really like this guy, Boyd. He's a man, right? He's physical. He's real brutal. And, you know, and with that, you know, and I will declare, obviously, I married a Saints supporter and I'm invested in a sense of what matches I have to watch compared to what I would like to watch.
But you're not biased.
But the Saints were so great when Paddy Ryder was in the team, right? Him and Marshall were just amazing. I used to love watching Paddy, just, you know, his craft in there. The clearances were at a really great level and all of a sudden your entries are a little bit better as well. So I think that, you know, him and Marshall had that connection. If the Saints can find that in Boyd, it'll offer a point of difference because you look at a guy like Lloyd Meek last year, went past Ned Reeves, right? All because of the ruck rule and how it changed, right?
So we can put your knee into
it. Yeah, mate, because all of a sudden it's like you can wrestle now, go to work in there, and he can do that really well. And if he can just win 30 or 40 hitouts, around the ground he's as good as anyone because he's a really good footballer. I think he can be a real dangerous pickup and make a point of difference with the Saints because, you know, clearances, as you know, right? Massive, massive concern for Saints and hitouts in themselves.
Well, you want the ruckman that follows it up. And the thing I like with these guys that are getting that chance through the SSP, they're dog hungry for it, aren't they? Because it's their one shot.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
And this we have it, mentioned that the Saints, they do tend to cut them after a year. SSP. But I did see earlier, before they signed in, that he was going to get a two-year deal, which I'm happy about. Yep. So his agent's doing his job. But I will mention that a collective group of footy fantasy fans had a heart attack when Clint did say that Rowan Marshall might be sharing the ruck.
Yeah, that's right.
Really? When he was with Paddy Wright, his numbers went right down.
Yeah, but hang on. Like, there's a difference between Supercoach and fantasy, but we're just saying team. So his numbers are amazing in Supercoach and fantasy, but his numbers... You know, in clearances.
I should say. The reality is that,
Question time. So, Saints fans, if you had a membership, you might know this question, but the Saints had a lot of games at Marvel to finish off the year last year. So, we actually didn't start that many games, but to finish off, we played a certain number of games at Marvel in a row. Do you know how many that was? So, how many games did we finish?
We finished in a row.
It doesn't necessarily have to be home games. We just happened to play there for a certain number.
Six.
I reckon it was about eight.
It was six. Spot on, yours. Very good.
Six.
Just back to the Harry Boyd in the fantasy, will people be picking him up now, Trent, given that he averaged, 159, you're saying?
159 Supercoach. I think a lot of people will pick him up, actually. I was actually looking through who was the most popular ruck picks behind. Now it's Tristan Jarry and Tom McConan. Of course,
Jarry the machine.
But then it's got Max Keith and Harry Boyd, because a lot of people are trying to think about that bench cover, and I think it'll lean towards Harry Boyd now.
Okay, that's
after Clint's comments just then, and from what we've heard. So
well, I think you're going to see Marshall in the preseason games, what the sort of thing is. But it's just good to have that option. Stepping aside from fantasy football for the team to have that option, because last year we didn't really have it. Because as good as a club man as Tom Campbell is, everyone knows he's not really a full time AFL performer. So having that Harry Boyd there who could do that role and let Marshall push forward and support King and Cooper Sharman, it's a good option to have. But like I said, if you buy him, he's like one of the highest priced fantasy.
That's right. I wouldn't be surprised if Harry Boyd absolutely smokes it in the preseason games. I think he'll be eager to make a big statement.
Well, Marshall's going to be in Cotton Wool, so he's going to get the chance.
So he's going to get the opportunity.
We get to see some of the other younger guys as well, Moose as well, give him a shot, because he's been on the list for about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, Isaac Keeler, I think I mentioned this to you boys when you drafted him. I was a huge fan. Look, he's still a couple of years away, but I think he's going to be a serious player coming forward. Like, he's got all the attributes, you know, AFL attributes you want. So,
got a bit of expectation. Yeah, there's something about it. Yeah, I didn't bring him up.
Yeah, no, he. I just think he's clean. He's really great hands in the air. He's good kick. If he just gets his tank right and builds some strength and gets an opportunity, he could definitely tie in there with Marshall. But it's a time thing, right? With Ruckman,
Even like with the injuries, the sort of key position lack of depth, the reason they let go Membry is to give these guys the opportunity, give Cooper Sharman the first crack at it, give Caminiti a go down back now that Battle's not there. Then you got Isaac Keeler will be next off the rank, hopefully. Like, if Membry's there, he's the number three again. And Membry's like a really good player, really good club man, safe option. You know what he'll do with his two-footed marking and his decent kick most of the time. But, yeah, that's why I'm on board with that, in that we need to see if these guys are going to be a good long-term.
Welcome back to Saints or Sinners. As I said earlier, we are joined by former AFL development coach and head coach of the VFL team, the Box Hill Hawks, Clint Proctor. So we have this chance where we have someone with his level of knowledge and wisdom for the game. So boys, why don't we throw some questions to him about the Saints and try and think about what people listening at home, and by people listening at home, I mean our parents, about what they'd like to ask Clint. So mine is, Clint, from a member who watched a lot of games last year of the Saints, I noticed that at times we look like we're getting the ball forward, but the entry was just horrible. Like, we would just kick it over King's head, and over we'll just bang it into them, and the opposition defenders would just have a field day against us. Like, the big players, your big Sam Collins, your Stephen Mays would have a field day against the Saints. Not necessarily just that, but what is it about our game plan that wasn't working, and what would you like to see more from the Saints in terms of their style that might compare to a successful team like Brisbane or Hawthorne?
Well, it's funny. Actually, the Saints' numbers stack up close to Brisbane in regards to just sheer numbers of, like, marks, handballs, not clearances, but definitely marks and handballs, right? So you look at that and you're like, okay, well, that's very similar. But what Brisbane do well, in my opinion, compared to the Saints in that sense, is that when they're handballing in flow. So the game's in flow and they're moving the ball. Yeah. I feel like the Saints sometimes are just a bit stop-start with their kicks and marks. And then when they handball, they're almost on the back foot. They do what they call face the game. And then it's sort of like a sideways, or I'm trying to create something out of nothing. So you think Brad Hill and these guys, they run around the back and then drive, and then they give you a bit of run. But it's like, it doesn't have any flow with it.
That's right.
It's like from an angle, or I need to create it, and then guess what? He bombs it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And where the other clubs are in flow more, so they find a mark and then they just roll straight away, and then they get an overlap hand that's a forward handball, and then they find a mark lower. And I just think that that's the difference, and they find what they call launch zones. So anywhere between, let's say, the 60 meter and the 80 meter mark of the ground, that's your launch zone. That's where you want to be kicking the ball from.
Yeah.
The Saints kick it from 80 to 90. Yeah. And when you're bombing it from there, you can't mark it. It's too hard. That comes back to the style, because, you know, those clubs, with respect, have the license to roll and move the game on fast. Where the Saints want to defend well and have low scores, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Because once you roll and take the game on, you are suspect to turning the ball over, and lack of defense will come from that.
Yeah.
So I think that's the biggest thing that I see compared to Brisbane and the Saints.
Well, is that personal wise? Do you think they're doing it? We know Ross's game style is always – that's just how he is. He's a defensive-based coach. He scores – like, Saints are always going to be up there with points against. They'll be a top thing. So is it – when he did join, he said he was going to run. Yeah.
But he's got the players there to run, right?
Especially off the half-back.
The players are there. So, you know, you look at them, Henry and all these guys, like they're clearly there to run. So it could be personnel-wise. Like, is it year two, three? With Ross?
It's the third year coming up.
Third year coming up. So I think it's still a build, right? And maybe there's a bit of hope there that, you know, maybe this year you see that, right? Yeah. A little bit more. And I'm not saying back of the ball, but just forward of the ball. A little bit more flair, a little bit more rolling and taking the game on.
Yeah, it's definitely a point. We'd all love to see that.
Yeah, it's a good point because I sometimes think, Clint, that we've got a really classy half-back line. We've got Nasiah Wanganeen Miller. We've got Brad Hill sometimes coming off the half-back like Jack Sinclair.
Yep.
Those are three stars off your back line, but why can't we make advantage of that? Why is it that, you know, they're so classy from the back, but then it doesn't translate to scores going forward? What's breaking down?
Well, it's a front half. Well, Ross would always, I think he does bring it up in his press conferences, that they do move it well off the half back line. Mm. It's that forward entry.
It's
that's
a forward entry,
them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Question.
Yep.
Who has the shortest surname in St Kilda?
Well, I was thinking Zach Jones has
a short first name and
it is shorter than 5 letters. It's probably going to sound pretty obvious when you hear it.
Oh, Dow.
That's right, Paddy Dow. 3 letters. Yeah. Sorry, Clint.
Paddy Dow. Paddy is a man. Now back to that. So yeah. So the question, sorry, come back to was around our halfback movement. Yeah. Look, obviously all those players there. Yeah, but I think yours makes a really good point. It's just about like finding the ball in the dangerous areas, and then looking for a little bit of overlap and carry in the front half and. Sorry, in the forward half of the ground, and you can do that all you want from the back half, but once you put speed on the ball, you have to have guys up the field to be able to deliver in that sense, and they probably just haven't been able to do it.
Okay, interesting.
Does Saints getting rid or trading out Membry change anything when we kick the ball up forward? No,
I think it's a good move. Okay, St Kilda, to be honest, so I think that. I really like Mitch Owens.
Yeah.
I think he's a really good player. I think he'll come into that role. Cooper Sharman as well.
My man, Mitch.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think actually moving Membry is good for everyone. It's good for Collingwood. It's good for him. Yeah, I think it's a good move in that sense.
All right. I got a question for Clint. Like, we were talking about Max King and how he cops it. And I agree, like, his body language can be quite poor. And I think his second efforts really need to improve.
Yeah.
Just as well for the team to see him doing it as well. And it needs to be done. But... is it the way they kick it to him? That's not his fault, the way they kick it to him.
No.
Like, so how do we improve that? Is it just making sure we're not targeting him all the time, not bombing into them? Just look for other options? Because when he was out of the team, everyone was saying, oh, we don't need him. We do need him, but we need to work better with him in the team.
Yeah.
We just need to utilise those options more.
Like,
well, how do you do that? Like, if you've got a big power.
He's a star. Yeah. He's absolute star. Yeah. He's going to be a, you know, awesome player, and he's so important to the team moving forward. Look, it honestly, just comes back to decision-making, right? And unfortunately, what happens is some of these, like, you know, and I've coached it, you know, and they see a big guy up there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I coached Mitch Lewis in the team. And I remember they're just running around, just kicking along.
Yeah.
It's like, but they see Mitch, you're like, I was getting into him, bombing up.
Because
you're
under pressure.
Subconsciously, yeah, there's a lot of heat on the ground. A lot of heat. I can get it done.
Oh, okay.
Rather than take the tackle. Yeah. You know, and then maybe find another hands to get a mark and then low and shift your kick.
Yeah.
And also, when he's such a big presence, it just draws the footy, right?
It's like Kerno, 6'7".
These guys, you know.
It's when you look up and you see that 206-centimetre guy there.
So, I just think it's decision-making, really. It's not King. It's not his fault. He's getting dumped on his head.
Yep.
I've got an interesting one, Clint, because sometimes, as you said, you're married to a Saints supporter, and Saints, being one-eyed and biased like we are, sometimes we shout things at the TV like, why are the Saints doing that? But I've actually, as from a coaching point of view, are we being a bit harsh sometimes? Like, what's a good example of when we might be saying, oh, why are the Saints doing it that way? But it actually, from a coach perspective, actually they're trying to do the right thing. Because I recall a few times where I was like, oh, they're just banging it in.
Yeah.
But, oh, they're going really wide to the boundary line. But you would respond with, oh, it's because of this reason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, sometimes you have to react to teams' moves, right? Like they play an extra one at the stoppage. You know, they've got an extra one in the back half and things like that. So you guys are like, oh, why do they keep kicking it to this guy? He's always on his own. Yes. And like, oh, you know, they're playing an intercept game here at the moment. It just is what it is. So... obviously, either one team or the other has decided to play a plus one, and then the other one's just gone, yeah, well, let's take that on, all right? So when the opposition plays a plus one, you have a decision to make. Do we even it up, Okay? Or do we play it as well and we play a bit of you know, end-to-end stuff here and we back our system to be able to move the ball well enough to find marks.
Well, I know I've watched Rossi's system for a while. He does like to put that guy, that extra defender. Yeah. He take one from the
It was Membry once upon a time, right?
Well, that was his go-to move, protecting.
That's right. When Saints were starting to lose by about 30 or 40 at halftime, we'd see Membry go back. Yeah, everyone would know that's Rossi's game plan.
He was his man doing that in the...
Kurnow's the same at Carlton. They put him back, you know, these guys, yeah. I think the one thing with the Saints, though, is what they could look at is potentially when they put their plus one... sometimes they actually have it like what they call the anchor at the end, you know what I mean? So everyone feels good, but ultimately still the ball gets moved pretty well and easily, and then eventually you have to deal with the problem down in the forward half, the opposition.
Yeah,
and whether they have the courage to put it up the ground a bit higher, but it means you expose the back, so there's still the risk, right? So it all comes back to risk.
Isn't exposing the back?
Yeah, no. If that's the case, then we'll keep the anchor.
Question time for Saints fans. So out of the following players from last season, who averaged the most marks? So out of these players, Jack Sinclair, Nasiah Wanganeen-Malira, Riley Bonner, or Jimmy Webster, who averaged the most marks last season?
I tell you that. That Bonner guy would just float around halfback and just rack up the marks.
That's what I thought. It actually wasn't Bonner, though.
Sinclair, I'll go Sinclair.
It wasn't either. It was actually Naz, surprisingly. So Wanganeen-Malira? He had 6.64 compared to Bonner at 5.53. So there you go.
They love getting it in.
Don't know how many of those were contested, but...
Mate, if we have any more with our mate Riley, because he came in with the 20-plus possessions last week as well.
Welcome back to Saints or Sinners. We're now going to go into our sliding door segment. And, y'all, this is a time where we reflect on... And it's probably the questions that Saints fans ask way too often, which is, what could have been?
It is a sliding door segment.
And it is specifically to do with drafting choices, right? So how far are you going to track back for us? Because I don't think I want to look this far back, to be honest.
I'm going to go to the 2013 draft, and just so that everyone knows, this is one of the things I have stuck in my head over the years watching that. After Lyon finished and we had that, I'm just not even remembering that two seasons under Scotty Waters. We'll just ignore that. So we got Richo in, and they had the draft. So what was the first draft? It was 2013. And so what is the thing you do when you're building the draft? You try and get multiple picks in the first round, and you try and build that base of young talent to start with. So pick number 3, 2013 draft. And I will say this, it was like a consensus that he was going to be pick number 3. But these are the sliding door moments that can change your club's history, the choices that can be between winning a flag and not winning a flag. So we took Jack Billings at number 3. And I do remember Emma Quayle, who was writing for The Age at that time, who's now doing recruiting with GWS. She did think that Jack Billings could be the best player in that draft. Don't laugh. You can laugh about it in hindsight, but she did see that. I remember reading that, and I was quite happy with them to take Billings. But who went at 4? And it wasn't a consensus 4. It was kind of a little bit of a flyer. It was Marcus Bontempelli. So there is your sliding door. There's your premiership. There is a base for your premiership. Top 5 player. And who went number 13 in that draft? Patrick Cripps.
Jewel Brownlow medalist.
Jewel Brownlow medalist. One of the stars of the competition. So with pick 18 and 19, we took Luke Dunstan. Good honest player. In and under.
Was supposed to be the next Lenny Hayes.
I thought he did start really well, and I was really high on him at the start, but he just sort of plateaued out. Is that the talent or is that the club as well? Number 19, Akers. Well, there's a prime example.
Well, there's a gun player, but the problem is it's for Carlton.
Yeah, but exactly, because he was injured with us a lot. We couldn't find the right role for him. So was it development that these guys didn't come on? So we've seen how he's playing basically the Mason Wood role at Carlton, so we had him. I won't mention which trade he went in, but it was for that Brad Hill trade. We'll get to that in another one. He was part of that Brad Hill trade. But basically, they forced him to go to Western Australia, and he played good footy at the Dockers. But so there's that Billings number 3 for Bond at number 4. There's your premiership there. Patrick Cripps is on the board at 13. But there's other clubs, 12 other clubs that passed on him. Yeah. But shall I go further down to the draft? Another name that is interesting because we recently tried to prize him out of Essendon, number 26, Zach Merritt. There's your key midfielder.
Oh, dear.
Number 29, Rory Lobb, type of player we could use. Number 37, Alex Pearce.
Rory Lobb, the type 40. Of player that 3 clubs have tried to use.
And they find the... I'll give it to Brebridge. I'm one of those guys that gets annoyed when he flicks them around, but he did found his position as a key defender. 43, Tom Barras. 44, Ali. And
I would have taken one of them.
And mate, who look who nailed it down the back end was Port Adelaide. 50, I think it was 50s, Darcy Byrne-Jones. Carl Amon, 68.
Amon, we tried to get him as well.
So like I'm saying, like all those clubs passed on these guys as well, but these are the sort of decisions, the sliding doors. If you nail those picks, the early picks you just got to nail, that difference, one pick, you get Bontempelli. You might have that second flag.
Well, Clint, what would life look like with Bontempelli at the Saints?
I mean, from a coach's
point of view.
Just looking here, comparing Billings and Bont, you know,
no,
like
it's
you got.
Not pretty.
Billings averages 15 disposals a game. Bont 25.8. You know, kicks in itself 14 versus 9 handballs, 12.5 to 6. So yeah, it's
stats wise he kills him, but it's the presence, isn't it? It's,
oh, absolutely.
He's a man.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what St Kilda don't have at the club. That man.
Yeah.
But Clint, I remember that we were told that Jack Billings was supposed to be the next Steve Johnson. So why don't you tell me the goals average, and then we can decide.
Oh, the goal. Hey mate, you don't want to go there. It's 0.2 goals versus 1.3, and the Bonds.
It was the next Steve Johnson in his rookie year.
I don't want to crap on Jack Billings.
No,
lovely
not at all.
Guy.
We actually love. We
good
love
solid player,
him.
Good club man, but he just wasn't the man.
It's always his name, Jack, so he had to be recruited by the Saints. That's where it all started.
Yep. And in the end, time on ground, interesting, 60 versus 85. Time on ground.
Well, those are the decisions.
I thought he would have spent a bit more time on the ground, Jack Billings, than that.
You can say all this about the coaches, coaching this, coaching that, but if you don't have the talent, mate, Bontempelli is that guy.
Now, for what it's worth, Billings played 170 games.
We actually all did love Billings, but it's always in hindsight, isn't it? Yeah. What could have been? That's why we love the slide.
And now Melbourne get to love him as well as a substitute.
Oh, question time.
Drive by there.
Question time, very quickly, higher or lower. So I'm going to read out a player, and you tell me whether the number I give you is higher or lower than their disposal average for last season. Jack Sinclair, did he average higher or lower than 28?
Lower.
Jeez, that's a high number. I'll say lower.
I'll say higher.
Lower, 27. Riley Bonner, higher or lower than 20?
Higher.
Our man Bonner.
Higher.
It was higher, correct. Bradley
Riley Bonner, mate.
Bradley Hill, higher or lower than 20?
Lower.
You'd want it to be higher, but unfortunately I think it's lower.
Lower.
And finally, Darcy Wilson, our future star, higher or lower than 13 disposals a game?
Just higher by one, I reckon.
Yeah, 15.
I remember he averages more than 15 kilometres a game, because that is a running machine right there.
Absolutely.
Darcy Wilson on my speed dial memory, mate. He could be the one that we pick up. A high draft pick in the mid-teens, but not top end. But his numbers, to kick those amount of goals as a first-year player, I think he kicked about 14. And to have his tank running up and down, he could be anything.
GT pressure rating. We kind of did this last week, but with Clint here, I want to ask it again. Post this question to you boys. The panel, the floor is open. Yep. Who is under the pump this season? Who do we need to see more from? I know, Trent, you talked about Dan Butler. Clint, is there anyone who just has to step up this season for the Saints? You know, it's make or break for them. Yoz, do you have anyone in mind?
Yeah, so I'm going to do it as a kind of weekly kind of thing. Who's under the pump this week? I'm going to forget the players. It's got to be the coaching group and the fitness head of performance, who is Alex Sarkagian. Clint, any background on that?
Yeah, I think he spent a bit of time at the, I want to say the Flyers, the WNBL, maybe. And also I think he's had a bit of history with Casey VFL. Maybe he was at Essendon for a little bit, so... Yeah, I mean, you know, not a massive profile, but obviously he's done his time, right, and done his work, so he certainly has the experience. But, yeah, I think with the injuries at play, there's a bit of pressure on that young man.
I'm not going to put a lump in all him. I'm going to say the coaching group as well. They need to get this team to play a better style or more. I don't really care about the attacking style. It just needs to be, like Clint said, flowing.
Yeah.
And like we said, we know we're going to not be at top of the wins unless something drastic happens. But we just want to see improved game style, improved performances, because the footy they played in the middle of the season, let's cut it. It was rubbish. It was trash.
Horrible to watch,
That Melbourne match, because I was up in Sydney and I watched that Melbourne match on replay, mate. That first quarter, it was embarrassing stuff, man. And that's what the fans, they just want to see a good style, competitive team. They can accept mistakes going to happen. They know it's a young team.
Yes.
But that's what I think we want to see. So that's who's under the pump for me, the coaches and the fitness head of performance.
Yeah, fair. No, that's such a good comment. I mean, I personally, if we lose, I don't mind if we take the game on or if we give it a go. But if we lose when we just bang it down the line and we're looking miserable out there without trying anything new, that's when it gets a little bit frustrating.
Yeah, I think so. We don't want to see the type of football we saw in the middle of the year. We want to see what happened towards the end of the year. So it's always interesting to see whether that was because the Sting's gone out of the season, the top teams are kind of preserving themselves for the finals. So you get a bit of that sugar hit. which could be, we'll see. We'll get to see when the season starts.
Clint, GT pressure rating, who's under the pump for the Saints? Any players come to mind?
Well, I think, you know, Paddy Dow for me. I think that, you know, they drafted him. Was it last year? Did he come last year?
Yeah.
Come last year.
He got traded.
You know, he got, well, he got traded, yeah. But he's come across, early draft pick. Carlton took him.
Got a three-year contract.
Wasn't able, 3 years, is it? Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's time. Like, they need him to elevate, especially with the changes they've made, with those Crouch going.
Out of the team,
you know, you've lost. He was sort of pushed out as well at the same time. But Zach Jones is sort of, you know, he'll have to play a different role now. Zach Jones, no doubt, he'll have little bits of roles to play, but he'll be playing other roles. So Paddy Dow has to elevate and go to another level.
Yeah, great Paddy, while he's down there, he's got the infection, so he's out for a bit.
Yeah, well,
but I think
is he really?
Yeah,
just remember, I'm not a Saints supporter, right? So I just figured I look on the list here.
Just got out of a hospital. He nearly had the infection cut out of the leg.
Sorry, Paddy.
I think Jack McRae's going to take that role, to be honest. But I did, like, I saw on the Saints Instagram account, Jack McRae's little sound bit where he said, what are you looking for to do or doing this this season? He goes, premiership.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I just like that straightforward confidence.
He needs a reality check. No.
He's going to be a really solid player.
Oh, question time. So we've talked about Nasai Wangani Malira being one of the future stars of St Kilda. Does anyone know how old he is turning this year? 20, he's 21 currently, so we turn in 22, I think, on February 22nd from memory. So he's got
10 more All Australians in the tank.
Tracking for All Australian this year. Did he make the top 40 last year? No, he didn't.
Not the squad, I think Sinclair did, but Naz is definitely going to push the squad this
year. And he's got the kiss of death around him.
Absolute star.
We really like him.
The kiss of death, so.
So I saw an article on Facebook, actually, that said something about deconing and the Saints offering $1.7 million, which is... What did that equal over like 7 years? It was something crazy, like $12+ million or something like that.
Making the highest paid play in the year.
Really?
In the AFL, wouldn't it?
So
even top Kings one. Yep.
But what is the thought process there? Is that to move Rowe forward? Because what is the club that's actually made success of two ruckmen lately, Clint? Like, you look at the dominant rucks in the game. Max Gorner didn't work with Grundy. You look at the problems Luke Jackson and Sean Darcy are having together.
Well, can I just jump in? I reckon it's not entirely about the position. It's just about landing
a big
It's a sliding doors thing. We don't have that man, and that's about landing that man. And
he's a fantastic
player.
Like,
when he's on, do you reckon he's a game changer?
Yeah, but I'll come back to the Paddy Ryder thing. I think Marshall needs that guy, right? I think he really needs that point of difference. Maybe they're not sold on Boyd just yet, right?
He's from
state footy and things like that, so he's got a bit to prove. Where, you know, you land a guy like this, it changes the dynamic of the team. But obviously there's the challenges of the cap. And that's where, you know, it gets really difficult, especially with your top-end players and managing your list and things. So
I don't think the St Kilda are there at the moment with the cap. They've got a bit of room because they don't have that sort of top-end thing. So I don't like the thing that they seemingly... I don't know if it's true, but they seem to be linked with every free agent. I don't like that sort of thing. I'd prefer them to target that. And the other one is... LDU as well, so they're going after him hard. What do you reckon?
I think LDU is a really awesome player, like, mate, you can get another midfielder.
They haven't.
No, but you can draft them, right? You can.
They're out there.
John
Newcomb was at Box Hill just training as a bricklayer, right? Played 8 games, got drafted. Now he's one of the most, you know, first picked, like, you know, you all know what he's about, right? He's tough inside, right?
That's
he's
really
going to play 200 games for Box Hill. Like, they're there. They are there.
They're there in Christian Petrarca at pick 2 and Michael Bosnkova at pick 4, but we normally go with the forward above them.
But where does our money... We've got money to spend is what we're saying. Yeah. It's like we're walking into a store full of all these good products and so it's like, they don't want to...
Yeah, but you must become an attractive club. Like, Hawthorn have done it really well, right?
Yeah.
Full credit to them. Like, they have. They've shifted this perception around... You know, with Sam being a list build and all
really
that, and then just all of a sudden,
well.
Like, well, one of your players lent there, right? In battle, so he's off.
Josh Battle, that really sat really badly with me the way the club treated him because it's a system. The free agency there is for the players, it's there for the clubs. he made his choice. He gave us like really good service. He played really well in his final season. And then to not invite, to tell him he can't come to the best end for us, I think that's pretty piss poor. And it reflects badly, I reckon, with other clubs. We're going to talk about it, mate. Look at what they did to this guy. Why would I want to go to that club? I find it really
We lost the battle, then we lost the war there, Yoss. That was disappointing, that one.
Oh, that's a real thing. Oh, yeah, that sort of shit. Sorry.
But it comes back to the destination club, right? And you're going to build that brand. And then all of a sudden, people are like, you know what? I think that's my journey. That's where I'm going to go and win some flags. Ultimately, that's what they want.
But people players do
think about that a lot.
Players think about flags, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, money's important, but... Sorry.
players think about flags. Plural, Clint, we've got one flag.
No, but they do. So that's right. You have to rip the Band-Aid. That's a challenge in itself, right?
Yeah.
But one day it will come, right? And it will, and there'll be a journey, and well, all of a sudden
you're gonna to my future kids, when it does come, let me know how it is. I'll be in heaven.
But like one thing,
don't forget my son's name, Jagger Saint.
Oh, he is.
Oh my god,
Jagger Hawk in 3 years' time. Don't worry.
One thing I will say, Ross, the way you're selling it to the younger kids, there's one more big flag to be won.
Yeah.
Because everyone's won their flag after 30 years.
Come here.
Which is when imagine if you are in that team, you will be immortalised.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, right.
Imagine
absolutely.
Look at how the team of 1966 are remembered. Absolutely. No, it is. Like, absolutely. The legends.
Spot on.
Imagine
spot
if you're the team to break that. That's why I feel really bad for that group. Rewald, Goddard, Montanus.
McQuarter.
They put everything.
Yeah. Amazing.
McQuarter, Mini McQuarter.
Mini.
Yeah.
Well, he's got his gig. Finally, Rossi's got something.
Great guy, Mini. Great guy.
Yeah. But like if they could do that, imagine if you're in that team, you'll have friendships for a lifetime. That's what I regret about that team 2009, 2010. They put everything in. Yeah.
They deserve one. I agree with you.
They came up against really good teams. That 09 Geelong team was a great team.
That midfield was stacked.
And even Collingwood that year were really good.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
To go with them, because they had a really tough year. I think Ross actually coached better in that 2010 season. He didn't have Rewald because he ripped the hammy off the bone. And they were a far inferior team to Collingwood.
Yeah, mate.
And they hung there and just about
to go back. We will wrap up on the other side of Saints or Sinners, joined by the fantastic Clint Proctor. Thank you for joining us. Welcome back to Saints or Sinners. We're going to wrap up in the next few minutes. Yoz, how do our Saints fans get down to watch the Saints? We've got a few preseason matches coming up,
yes,
right?
We do. So after all this talk, we're going to see it in action. So nice. It's really good. I think like the thing that annoys me a bit about preseason, you know, Clint, back in the day, mate, it was a huge thing. And like, mate, the 96... The 96, oh, I'm going to remember the
Wizard
quickly.
Cup?
No, don't bring that one up. The one with Grant Thomas and Lenny Hayes where they're looking.
There's a Wizard Cup one.
I won't bring that one. I'll bring the one. So we were in quite similar situation that after the 2000, the Malcolm Blight era, Timmy Watson era. We were bottom of the thing and we drafted all these kids. Ozzie Jones. Clint, sorry about that. Joel Smith, Tony Brown. And they had a run during the 96 preseason cup. And we got to the final against Carlton. And we had 66 at Waverley Park. And they won the flag. And just the hope of seeing that, the young kids do it. Mate. It like kicked us off. And that led to that 97 losing grand final. We'll get to that another time. But yeah, so anyway, the preseason. Sorry, I went off on a tangent there. Saturday 22nd, the Feb, Icon Park with Carlton. So that will be a rough one. Everyone will be taking the piss a bit. But then March 1st at RSCA Park, St Kilda versus Port. And you can actually book your tickets for that one, which I have, if you remember. So I would do that because it will be really interesting. And it's a good atmosphere down at RSCA.
Always.
A bit of controversy last year when Jimmy ironed out Simkin.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, like, it's good to see the style. The problem with RSCA Park, it's a bit windy. So when you kick in one way, the wind's going that way.
Nah, that could help
but
us.
It's good atmosphere.
We already struggled to kick the ball inside 50.
Yeah, but that's what's happening in the preseason. So hopefully, I reckon we'll get down to some of those games.
Hey, on the preseason, I don't want to flip this, but do you reckon it would be really interesting if the AFL did, like, FA Cup style?
Well,
you know what I mean? Like you know, NBA, you talk about the Wizard Cup, right? But, like, you had... Williamstown playing like Hawthorn, right?
Yeah,
and in theory, they probably play Box Hill. They put their reserves on, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then you have like the full rounds because
be
the reality is like you've only got 18 teams, but it would be good to win some other silverware. Because not everyone can win it, right? And then all of a sudden you're like,
well, we can't.
I can't win the flag. Now, I'm not saying this because I'm on the Saints podcast.
We haven't. It's not that we can't.
I've always thought about it. I'm like, oh, I reckon that'd be great. Like, all the state league clubs.
You know what's going to kill it? The clubs, because they don't want to see their players injured. But
if you played it in season on the buys and stuff and all of a sudden worked it in, mate, when you're sitting 12th on the ladder and you know you're. Can I win the flag? I can win the FA Cup though.
But well, would you see
all of a sudden it's like I'm going to get silverware there?
I thought the Saints got beaten by Vauxhall. There we go. Oh crap!
No, the worst one, not Vauxhall. Imagine Saints got rolled over by Sandy.
you can't play your own team. Right?
I'm just saying.
At the moment, we are the Sandy Zebras without this.
I know that if Williamstown played at Hawthorn, they'd just get smashed, right? But they wouldn't play their full team. That's reality. But then you build it, and all of a sudden it's Hawthorn v Carlton or St Kilda versus West Coast in a semi final to play off for a.
Yeah,
it's, mate, things get at stake, right? Yeah. And you get there.
The FA Cup has that 100-year history and has that romanticism.
But where does history come from?
I'd love the idea. I just want to see the clubs go. Otherwise, why wouldn't we have state football? Because we all love that.
Let's finish off with our fantasy segment, sponsored by StatBreak.com, which is our AI-powered platform where you can search any question you like and see the stats you want, your insights, lifetime or real-time or historical data. Trent, fantasy is coming up. Dream Team is your specialty. Who should we be looking at? Any hidden gems or anyone that should be averaging 100-plus as per last year? Or?
Well, I spoke last week about the forward line and how everyone locked in Jack McRae, and he's an absolute lock still. I've got no doubt that he's going to average in the 90s or 100. So
top five recruiter.
He's an absolute lock.
We'll circle back to that.
But I also mentioned that everyone had Mateus Philippou on their team, and now we've got to go back to the drawing board. And I've come up with a few options for you to consider. And one came about yesterday when I heard that Sean Darcy is once out again. And that makes me look towards Luke Jackson's average without Sean Darcy, which was 94 when he was solo ruck. And that puts him in top five forward contention. So Luke Jackson, if Sean Darcy's out for a long stretch, Luke Jackson's your man. He averaged 67 when Sean Darcy was on the team. So, looking at Luke Jackson
Can I just jump in on that? You know what we're going to call this effect? It's going to be the rider effect. So when
that's right, that's what
I'm going to call it. It's a fantasy rider effect.
Yep. Liam Baker is one that I'll be watching very close in the preseason because he got thrown around the magnet board at the Tigers, but when he played in the midfield, he averaged a very healthy score. Post bye, he averaged 87, and he had 44% CBA. So I have a feeling that West Coast are going to play him off half back or in the middle. So he's one to definitely look out for. He's listed as a forward.
Centre bounce attendances, CBA.
That's right. And then the other one is Riley Sanders from Western Bulldogs. He was an absolute ball magnet. Averaged 116 in the VFL, but he's just a little bit behind the Bond Treloar and Tom Liberatore in the pecking order. But if he can get an opportunity now with, you know, Bailey Smith and Jack McRae at the door, even though they didn't play much last year, and with Caleb Daniel as well moving on, Riley Sanders is definitely one to look out for in the preseason.
And I just saw a little pump up of Harvey Langford, one of the ones we were looking at, and he looks like he's got a man's body, he could be a sneaky one if Clayton still has his issues.
Cripps 2.0.
Oh, really?
Yeah, massive. Oh, right. But I think he's awesome.
I don't want to hear that.
I mean, they couldn't get him anyway, right? Because you didn't miss that pick, let's be honest.
No, we didn't. You can't pick.
He got took before you, so it's not
just
your fault.
Just wait till we get a look at the flying Viking. Mate, we're going to... It's going to be our man. There it is.
The flying Viking sound. We've been looking to do it. Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us on episode 2 of Saints or Sinners. Join us next time where it's the last week of no footy, as we said. So we'll be talking much more about what we actually see in person outside of just the training and the match simulations. We're talking about preseason, and then we'll get ready for round 0 as it is, not round 1 anymore. So Trenor, Yoz, Clint, Proctor, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your inside knowledge. Great having you, and we'll see you all next week on Saints or Sinners.
Beautiful.